Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's all stand and read verses 20 through 27 together. Let's all stand. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for an awesome time of worship and praise. I thank you for the saints of God that have gathered here this morning. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, that you are here with us. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Father Knows Best. Father Knows Best. And so this message, I'm praying that it would exhort, it would build up, it would remind the men of God, whether young or old, whether a youth that's growing into manhood. But I truly believe that this message will speak volumes to us and help us continue the mantle that God has given fathers. And so we're going to understand through the Word of God that there is a huge responsibility as a father. And God has equipped the fathers. Can I get an amen? This is the time, saints, that our nation right now is under attack. And one of the attacks of the enemy is to destroy the family. And what we see throughout the land right now is that there are tons and tons of fatherless homes where there's many children now born out of wedlock. And one of the reasons that the enemy has done, it has removed the responsibility of that father. And now everything stems with the mother. So that is a recipe for chaos. That is a recipe of a family unit being destroyed and a child that's without a father. You're looking at doomsday. Doomsday. Now, I know there's wonderful mothers that do their best, and a lot of them are raising up as a single parent. But there's still a missing element, and that is fatherhood. Can I get an amen? The father is the most vital aspect of that family unit. Why? Because it's the father's responsibility to hear from God. And once God rains down upon him, and then now the man is obtaining wisdom and knowledge, now he can distribute it amongst the family. And that the mother will be encouraged that the father is listening to God, and the children will see that he's in the presence of God. And then things and instruction can be received with everyone in the family because of the man of God who is sitting before God, who is seeking God, who is walking with the Lord. And so I've entitled this message once again, Father Knows Best. Now, we think that I'm talking about our earthly fathers. No, our Father in heaven knows best. Can I get amen? Amen. He's the one that knows best. Listen, we are just learning to be the father that God has called us to be. Amen? And so are we there at Proverbs 4:20? Let's all read together. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. One of the things that's so vital in the days that we live in, regarding us fathers, grandfathers, even those that don't have children just yet, is there is a lack of wisdom in the home. And the wisdom can only come from the Word of God. It cannot come through philosophy, vain deceit, humanism, the secular world. It has to come from the Lord. Amen? And so we have to understand as men that God has called is number one. We have to understand a father's calling. Did you know that there's a calling? There's a calling. Why? Because there's a lot of wonderful single men, but a lot of them are not called to be fathers. Why? Because God sees the character that eventually there'll be something lacking where the family somehow gets distraught. Why? Because the man has to be a man of God who will receive from the Lord how to instruct his family and to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There's a huge responsibility to be a father. Can I get an amen? A huge responsibility. And so God's calling to a dad is one of servanthood. Say that with me. Servanthood. And when you become a father, God expects now for you to lean upon him for the instruction. Why? Because down the road, there's going to be a tiny little one that's going to come. And God expects that child to be in the best care possible. And it starts with dad. It starts with the father. And so within God's design, marriage precedes parenting. It begins with a love for God and then a love for one another. So we're instructed in God's word right up here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So when you realize that Jesus had to come to this cross to die for our sins, he did it, why? So that you and I, the church, we are the church. It's not the four walls and the roof here. We, the body of Christ, we're the church. So he laid his life down for the church. And so fathers, we are to love our wives, those of you that are married, those of you that are single that desire to be married, you can take heed to the instruction this morning. Can I get amen? And apply it as you wait for God to bless you with that wonderful woman. And let me just say this, when God presents a godly woman to you, you'll know it's him. Why? Because she will love God more than you. That's right. Come on. Yeah, that's right. She will love God first. And then she will learn to submit to her husband. Can I get amen? And so in Ephesians, this is love your wives as Christ loved the church, that he gave himself up for her. So when you get wisdom from God, that God laid his life down for us, then we are to emulate that. We are to be like, quote unquote, copycats. Can I get amen? We are to be like Christ and lay down our lives for our wives and for our children and for our home. Thank you, God. And so to love as Christ loves us is the highest calling a man can pursue. Within this primary calling of every follower of Christ is the need to put others' interests before his own. And as a husband and a father, it is my privilege, your privilege, fathers, to serve your family. Can I get amen? And it begins by yielding our life to the one that gave his. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So God commands us. Did you know it's a commandment to love? Listen, if you have a problem loving your wife, your children, something's out of order. Something needs to be corrected. Did you know that everything can be corrected by the power of God? Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what upbringing that you were raised up in. But when you come into the family of God, into the saving knowledge of the Lord, he will then further instruct you. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So look at this right up here in John. A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to say this in love, because I've had fire calls many times as a pastor. What do I mean, fire calls? To go out there and try to put out a fire. All of a sudden, I became a fireman. I don't know how. But if the whole block can hear you, you need a fire put out. Can I get amen? And guess what? This is not operating. This is not operating here. And when you're at each other's throat, somebody's missed the mark big time. Can I get amen? Listen, fathers being called by God means a whole lot of dying needs to take place in our lives. There's a whole lot of dying as men have to do. Can I get amen? The responsibilities given to us by God lets us know it is God who will equip you for the task. But we need to acknowledge, can I get an amen, that we need to die daily for this precious call in our lives. Paul understood this. Paul exhorted us. He exhorted the church, but man, this is especially for us because we hold the largest responsibility in the family unit. But look how Paul addresses. Paul said this in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How many of you men can honestly say Christ lives in you? Hallelujah, the hope of glory. So if he's living in you, guess what? You will learn to love the things that he has. Hallelujah, conveyed to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But it is Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Hallelujah.
So when you get that mindset, man, it's not about me no more. It's about Christ who lives in me. Then you're going to start to walk and talk and love and learn the things of the Lord. But if those things don't have any interest for you, then you have to always have a heart check. Christ, are you living in me? Because if he's living in you, you're going to gravitate to the things of God. You will love the things of God. And you will want to be that soldier. You won't want to be that son. You would want to be that father. Can I get an amen? And so I need you to remember this, saints, because before you go into fatherhood, as we mentioned, it's a call. He's not doing this right up here. Look at this. God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the call.
Amen. Thank
you, Daddy God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen, we go into marriage sometimes, wow, I don't have a clue, but help me, God. And guess what? If you submit to him, he will teach you his ways, and he will equip you day by day. He will instruct you a better way. Can I get amen?
Amen?
He will strengthen you and he will gird you up in truth. And once truth eliminates through your heart, now you have entered in that place of mercy and grace and love. And now you can administer and you can teach. You could raise up your whole family in the fear and admonition of the Lord by submitting unto the Lord God Almighty. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now, we see in Scripture that all Scripture, say that with me, all Scripture, not just a paragraph, not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, but how many believe all Scripture pertains to you and I?
Amen.
All right, let's confirm it in the Word. Look at this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what? For the man of God may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, fathers and grandfathers, and let me just say this, grandfathers, it's never too late to learn more of God. Can I get amen? None of us can say, I've arrived. Or if you are that one that says, I've arrived, then we're going to have to recall your name as Brother Know-It-All. Oh, you never met Brother Know-It-Alls in your life, have you? No, we need to be what? Fully equipped, amen? And God will equip us. Because all scripture is given to the inspiration of God, and it profits you and I. So in other words, this is what profits us here. You want some returns and dividends? Be in your word and apply the word. Can I get an amen? And so as fathers and husbands, we need only to look at our Savior as the greatest role model and source of inspiration in the pursuit of his goal. He gave his life for others, and we're called to do the same. Can I get amen? As we yield our lives to Christ, his Spirit works in and through us to produce his fruit in our lives. And so, saints, while other priorities rightfully take our time, our efforts and our resources, the priority to love our wives and children should remain one of the highest throughout our lives. Can I get amen? Amen. And so a question we need to ask ourselves, fathers, remember this is Father's Day, so we're talking to us men right now, but let's look at this question right up here. If I'm not taking care of the most important things, why am I so busy with everything else? Let me just say this. When there's a child coming, I think that's when the whole world stops for you, brother. Why? Because God now wants to prepare you to raise up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And you know what? The opportunity is when they come into this world. That's the greatest opportunity to instruct your child. Now, for those of you that have came into the saving knowledge a little later, and the kids are maybe halfway grown or all the way grown, it's still not too late. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not too late. Listen, if me as a big knucklehead got saved at 30, come on, it was not too late, was it? My goodness. And then 30 years it took him to put into me by the grace of God to teach and preach his word. It took 30. It didn't happen overnight. There's a process. It's called dying to self and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's never too late. Never too late. And if you think it's too late, think again. It's not. Listen, God lives in eternity. We're here temporal. We live on a temporal basis. Can I get amen? We're here today and gone tomorrow. That's how fast our life is. Did you know our life is like a blade of grass? You ever see a grass grow up and then it withers away? It's gone. Or a tea kettle, when you see the steam, it's there for a moment and then it's gone. That's how fast our life is here on earth. Can I get amen? And so, saints, in life, there are countless good things we can be doing. Yet as a father, God has given us the priority to love and lead our family in a manner that honors him. Now, how many people remember Gale Sayers? He used to be a running back. Okay, did you know that even though I believe he had a liver issue, and I believe he passed on, that's the reason why he passed on, he was a devout Christian. He loved the Lord. Oh, yes. And so this is what was asked of him. How is your family structured? I found this clip, but one of the things he said that was really profound was this right up here. He says, I am third. Meaning that God is first, my family and others are second, and I am third. Did you check that? He submitted to God that he would lay his life down like Christ laid his life down for the church. So he would lay down his life for his family. Man, there's a huge responsibility that God is looking for us. That the legacy, that Christ would be glorified for generations to come. And it starts with us. It starts with us. And so, as a Christ-following husband and father, this should be our relational emphasis in life. my friends. Learn to put others in front of us, starting with our own family. It will require us to say no to some things, some good things, in order to say yes for the most important things. And what's more important is the life that's coming into this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But God gives us a second chance, doesn't he? Yeah. Third chance.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that when you first blew it, he didn't stamp you out like a roach? I remember roaches back in the day. Oh, okay, you never seen one, huh? Especially the ones that are carrying a little egg sack in the back of them. My goodness, what's the first thing you want to do? Oh, bam. Aren't you so blessed that God didn't do that to us? Huh? He had to come and die for that, didn't he? He had to come and die for us. Because we were no different carrying all that with us. Like a roach. And so, my brothers, one of the things that God is looking for you and I is number two, our second point, is walk with integrity. Walk with integrity. That's so vital in the days that we live in. Why? Because we see in this nation all the things that are taking place. And did you know there are some churches that don't even care about that bill we talked about 2 weeks ago? I was invited to a national city council meeting. And all the pastors got together. So I printed out the whole bill that's on the California website of the state of California. I printed it all out. And guess what the first three paragraphs said? It says that scientifically, we have determined that homosexuality and transgender and all these things are normal. And when they read literature that tries to persuade them otherwise, it becomes now a federal offense. And so I pointed this out, and those pastors in there said, I'm sorry, but, you know, we know about it, but we got liberals and we got right-wingers in our church, and we don't bring politics in our church. I'm not going to put them on blast, but I was like, wow. Now, I was asked to come. I didn't go in there pounding on a door. I was asked to come to see if this is something that we can discuss amongst pastors. That was like, don't even go there. So now, guess what's on the bill? Remember we read a 58 to 12 vote? That was the assembly vote. Guess what? It went past the Senate. Now it's on Jerry Brown's desk. And so once he signs it, it'll be on California's ballot. And let me just say this. If you don't go out there and vote, this little minority with an evil voice is going to overwhelm us. And now that we preach against that lifestyle, which is a spiritual condition, we know that. Yeah. That it becomes hate speech. Yeah. And they'll come in and remove our word or haul us away. I'm telling you, we're living in a times that right now that the family unit is being eroded away. Yeah. And I looked at that in there in that little meeting, that these guys were like this. They just care about agendas and carnivals, and they were talking about a carnival, this and that. That's great for outreaches, but your liberties are about to be removed. But then again, there are churches that don't even bring their Bible. They don't even put up scriptures. So that'll fit them perfectly. Integrity in our world today implies moral. It implies moral incorruptibility. Christians should be those who cannot be bribed or compromised because we serve God rather than men. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God says right here in Colossians, look at that. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything that we do, Jesus has to be the focal point. Can I get amen? He's got to be the authority, the final authority in the home. If you devoid of him, guess what? You're just going through the motion. And you're going to have nothing to rely upon other than your own understanding. And how many believe that our own understanding is corrupt? You know why? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. So if we're leaning on our own understanding, we're never going to get it. This is why we need God. How many believe that we need God? We need God. And listen, so when I walked out of that place, I didn't condemn them. I didn't rebuke them in there. I you know what? I said, thank you for allowing me to come. I left the whole bill there, and I left all the writings that I found from the other states that are looking at California. And they're looking at it with wide eyes. Why? Because if this passes, guess what? The domino effect will start taking place across the nation. And we're going to see that it's because the body of Christ didn't rise up to go out there and cast their ballot. We live in some harsh, harsh, corrupt days. But when I walked out, this scripture came to my mind. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. If God says things that are an abomination, then guess what? I'm going to obey God and believe God. Can I get amen? Amen. If you're living in sin, you got to get out of that and repent and turn to the Word of God. Turn to Jesus who will save you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Only he can save us. That's right. A lot of people don't want to hear truth because we're afraid to offend. Listen, the Holy Spirit came to convict us from our sin. It's spelled out in the book of John chapter 3 that the Holy Ghost came to reveal that we have sinned before a holy God. And he's given us an opportunity to get it right. Hallelujah. I know this is not popular, brothers, but let me just say this. If I don't preach it, someone else will. You'll hear it from somewhere else. So listen, men, we are to be people who keep our word. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, I came across, I'm not going to say who they are. Oh, yeah, hey, praise the Lord, Pastor. Hi, I'll see you Sunday. Yeah, I sure will. Sunday rolls around. Yeah, I'll see you. Oh, yeah, I'll come over and say hi. Yeah, I'll go and pray. Listen. Here's an eye-opener here. Because we got to be careful in what we say. Can I get amen? Amen? It's already written. It's written in heaven. Guess what? And you don't have no eraser that could reach the heavens and do this like a chalkboard. Right up here. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by the earth with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. My goodness. What? That's God's word. Huh? It's already settled. No, you go to God. Lest you fall into judgment. This is a serious matter. This would be an indictment against you from the courts of heaven. That's right. So let your yeses be yeses. You know, if someone asks you, oh yeah, man, I'll be there. You better be there. And it's not that you hurt that person's feeling. But God records everything you say and do. My goodness. How many believe that we need to be men of God? Men of valor, truthful. Can I get amen? Listen, just be honest. I can't be there at this time, but you know what? I'll call you when I can. There's a better way than, shrug it off. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll see. Yeah. Goodness. So look at this. Men, we are to love those around us in both word and deed. Can I get amen? Word and deed. So not only do we say it, that then we have to enact it, perform it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll come over and help you. Yeah, okay. Number one, you don't show up. Number two, you didn't get that help. Don't even say it if you're not going to do it. But look what the Word of God says up here, men. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Amen.
That's what God says. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Brothers, this is to strengthen us. Yeah, and I see some of you wives doing like this. This is for you. This is for you, dude. Come on, sister. I was merciful to you last month. We serve a mighty God. Let's give him praise. Come on. Come on. Let's give him glory. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things us men should not have any kind of, I'm going to say, vocabulary that God says not to have. Can I get amen? Now, look. Let's look at this first, is in James. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
Okay, this is going to help us now, huh? Isn't it? That's right. This is to build us up. This is to build godly character in us. Can I get amen? That's right. But here's another exhortation, us men. How many remember before you got saved? Someone needed to put a bar of soap in your mouth. Every other word, bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then sometimes, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, Jesus Christ would come out. Well, the Word of God exhorts us men. Hallelujah. Is right up here. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what it is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Listen, if you're going to minister to someone, even if they're out of order, you do it in love. You know what, brother? I love you, man. I'm praying for you, man. You know, let me help you, you know, and things that God has shown me. Never say, man, there's something lacking. No, let me share what God has done in my life that I may impart to your life. Or do you go, you dirty rat? Shame on you. Oh, we were good for that one, huh? Shame on you. No, shame on you for even saying that. We got to be careful. Look at this, man, right up here. Man, we are called upon to believe in God and therefore to follow him in all of our ways. How many believe that? How many believe that God is the final authority? That's right. Listen, the greatest, the most awesome example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know when he was up on this cross and he took a beating for you and I? He took a whipping that he did not deserve. Did you know he opened not his mouth? And still blessings came out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come on, listen. If your son was on that cross and that they were whipping him and beating him, they tore his flesh, you couldn't even tell his gender no more. And then they stuck him with a spear. They put a crown of thorns on his head, dripping in blood. He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. We serve a mighty God. And so how does the Word of God exhort us? right here in the book of John. Look at this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You see, the wisdom of the world is found in the book of Galatians, the works of the flesh. So when we come into this world, all we know is the works of the flesh. God will send the helper, the Holy Spirit, to illuminate us, to allow us to see that things that are already written, forever settled in heaven, that we can grow now in that area. We can grow in that aspect, that his love will now permeate in our heart, and it would cover every shortcoming that we have. And then he starts to build us up. He starts to give us grace and mercy and love, understanding. He starts to give us a heart of compassion. You know, it's real easy. Man, you didn't clean up your room. What's up with you? Or say, hey, you know what? I tell you what, let's go have a talk. And you do it in love. You know, love will go a lot farther than a whip. You know why? Because you could tell a kid, let's just say he's 9 years old. Man, will you stop running? I need you to sit down. So they'll come and they sit down, right? But in their heart, they're standing up. They're standing up in their heart. You know why? Because you dropped the law on them. There was no grace. You need to explain why you don't want them running around. And do it in love. And they'll let them understand why. And then they'll start to understand, wow, I'd rather receive this instruction kindly than an instruction that comes harshly. It's easy to go harsh. We go harsh all by ourselves. But can you do it with wisdom? Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Listen, when you're operating out of a spirit of love, your tree will be hanging with fruit.
Amen.
Man, that fruit tree, man, and people could come, and guess what? Man, I love this fruit. It tastes good. It's delicious. Why? It's because your life is graced with compassion and love and adoration and understanding. And not only your wife and children will trust you, but even those that surround your life will learn to trust and understand you. Now, one of the things for us fathers is not to be led, but to be a great leader, a leader. Did you know that when you start leading in Christ's way, meaning the way the Lord instructed us to lead, I'm telling you, you will build an army in your home, an army that will love God. And they will do it out of love, not out of fear. You know, it's real easy to have someone respond in fear, but you're going to get better results when they respond in love. That's right. And yes, we as fathers and as grandfathers and great-grandfathers, there are times when we have to bring a word of discipline. Can I get amen? It's a must, but there's a way to do it. Look at this. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. You discipline him in love. That's right. How many saw the movie last week? The whole time, that young man hated his father. He hated his father. But it was God's love that came and gave him a heart to forgive his father. Amen. That's right. Children who grew up undisciplined households feel unwanted and they feel unworthy. They lack direction and self-control. As they get older, they rebel and have little or no respect for any kind of authority, including God's. You know why? Because they never saw it in the father. Let alone, some families have no fathers. They have a mother's affection, but they don't see an authoritarian figure in the home. And that place is only for the father. God created it that way. That's right. At the same time, discipline is a must. How many believe discipline is a must? Fathers, look at this. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. And you know what? And that's not so much the death of that life, but the death of a relationship. And everything around him will be death. What can I destroy too? Because my relationship was destroyed by my dad. That's what we saw in the movie, didn't we? He couldn't even relate to the high school friend. And she was trying to say, hey, what's wrong? He kept it bottled up, huh? It was destroying everything. Why? Because of the instruction he had learned from the very beginning, that he was no good. He was never going to make it. Our words mean a whole lot, don't they? At the same time, discipline must be balanced with love, or children may grow up resentful, discouraged, and rebellious. Look at this. This is a serious matter right here. Because there's a way to instruct your child, and then God says, don't do this. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Boy, and you go in there, man, and you give them a lashing with your tongue. They get discouraged. And a lot of times you don't explain why. You just went in there mad. They don't get it. They need to be taught. Can I get an amen? Did you know your children need to be taught every day? Every day they need to be taught lessons of life and not be scorned and yelled at. God recognizes that discipline is painful when it is happening, but it's followed by loving instruction. It is remarkably beneficial to the child. Can I get an amen? Look at these two scriptures right here in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews. Being punished isn't enjoyable while it is happening. It hurts. But afterwards, I forgot to put it rewards. Oh, I cut that one out for some reason. Look at Ephesians right up. Look at this. And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. See, you're just not, oh, this is Pastor Fee's opinion. This is God's word. It's just in a different translation. It's in the Living Bible version. I didn't put King James because you wouldn't understand beeth and thoueth and knoweth. This is plain, simple English. Can I get amen? Amen. And so I didn't pick this day. It comes annually, Father's Day. So brothers, receive this with love and encouragement and exhortation. Can I get amen? Let God's word well up in you. That you would use this as ammunition. Can I get amen? Because the enemy wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. And God wants us to succeed. Can I get amen? He doesn't want us to fail. And if we flunk the test, guess what? He'll give you a new one until we pass it. How many want to pass tests and not fail him? Because if you fail him, guess what? He comes around again. As a good leading parent, It is important to involve your children in the church family and ministry when they are young. Can I get an amen? Regularly attend a Bible-believing church. Allow them to see you studying the Word and also you studying it with them. When's the last time you had devotional time with your kids? Did you know it's not too late? Did you know that, hey, you know what? Let's just look in God's Word. Just 10 minutes. Open up a paragraph and just learn. And it don't have to be long. And don't worry, you won't hear this from your kids. Are you going to be long-winded like Pastor Fee? No, you just take 5 minutes, right? 10 minutes. And then close up the book and move on. And then we'll look at it again tomorrow. But that 10 will grow into 15. That 15 will grow into 30. Then all of a sudden, man, I want to know more, Dad. That's right. God loves us. God loves us. And so it is important. Now look how the Living Bible brings this out. Because what I love about the families here, you guys do bring out your children. Can I get amen? But this is what's lacking across our nation. And this is the eroding away of the family home. Look at this right up here. Let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Are you telling your children that Jesus is coming? Or are you going to be caught with your hand in the cookie jar? He's coming. Let your children know, hey, you know what? Jesus is coming back. You know what? Let's acknowledge that and let's be aware of that, because he's going to come anytime now. And what are you doing? Are you honoring the king? Discuss with them the world around them and so that they can see and then teach about the glory of God every day in their life. Can I get amen? Amen. Teach about the glory of God. And so we are instructed. You probably have this on your refrigerator door. Some of you probably have it on one of the pages of your Bible. But for us men, as fathers, this is a vital scripture. Right up here. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not, what? Turn from it. God's word will not come back void unto him. So whatever you sow into the heart of a child, man, they're going to remember that. You know those little songs that they, oh, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, because the Bible. Listen, that will go a long ways to a little 3 or 4 year old. They'll be singing it all day long, and it'll just come naturally to them. That's right. I think the thing that captured my heart one day is Yolanda was in the kitchen, and just me and little Brooklyn, we were watching The Star. You know the cartoon, The Star, about Jesus? And Joseph went up to pray in the window like this. But he gave Mary a kiss on the forehead, and then he went up and he prayed. And when she saw that, she came to me and she kissed me on my head, and then she grabbed her hands and she went down like this. That picture right there is worth $1 million. That's what it's all about. Is demonstrating the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, teaching them the ways of God, so that when they grow old, they will not turn from it. It's our job to sow that godly seed. Can I get an amen? Amen. And watch the results. The results will be beautiful. And so learn that, saints. And as we look at the final point, be a man of God. A man of God is a description given to the man that follows God in every way, who obeys his commands with joy, who does not live for the things of this life, but for the things of eternity, who willfully serves God in giving freely of his resources, yet gladly suffers as a consequence of his faith. Being a man of God. You know why? Because the prophet Micah prophesied this thousands of years, and it pertains to us today. Look at this. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what we're called to do. This is what God has instructed us. But guess what? The state of California don't hear this. Their eyes are like this. Mm-mm. We're going to live for self. And so they walk in the ungodly triuneness, me, myself, and I. Saints, the man of God does not swindle or defraud his employer by turning up late for work or spending an hour on the internet during work hours. He doesn't gossip or slander. He keeps his mind and heart pure by guarding his eyes and his ears from the filth of the world. He is the spiritual leader of this family. Can I get amen? He does everything opposite to what the world does or approves of. He goes against the grain of society. Why? Because he knows these things displease God. He considers those who are disadvantaged or those rejected by society, those that are lonely or despairing. He is a listener to other people's problems and does not judge. Can that be said of us, brothers? God is trying to encourage us to walk in his ways. Most of all, the man of God understands that when our Lord commanded him to be perfect, this means the man of God will yield his life to Christ and allow God to perfect him. How many know that we're not perfect? Come on, we're not. But guess what? He's called us to perfection. That's right. None of us will ever arrive. Don't think you have arrived, because we're not. You know when we arrive? It's when we got that new body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that new body? Come on. Some of you go, man, I need that body now. There's things already that are falling apart. Okay. Some of you are young bucks in here. Huh? We get it. Yeah, man, I'm on top of the mountain. Okay. If God delays his timing in 40 years, you won't be saying that. All of a sudden, the aches and pains, man, and the knees and everything starts buckling. Everything, man, everything starts falling apart.
You know that's right.
Man, I remember I used to be in a size 32 suit. Man, I can't even find my size no more. Come on. Man, things are they're failing us, aren't they? Man, before we could look in our cabinet, and there was just Band-Aids and maybe Alka-Seltzer. That's maybe... And now there's 15 bottles of pills up there. And none of them work. We still feel the same or if not worse. Jesus, I need a new body. Help us, God. But let me just say this. As we wait for the King, he will sustain us. He will give us grace and mercy. He'll give us that supernatural strength to keep carrying the cross. Amen. That's right. And some of you are carrying that cross beautifully, because that's what he intended. Amen? Amen. Is to carry our cross. Yeah. Come what may. Oh, yeah. The gates of hell will try to prevail against you, but the Bible says Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He destroyed all that. His blood now covers us. Man, now we can walk in the glory of God. We can walk in the newness of Christ. We can walk, hallelujah, like if we were walking in heaven. Can I get an amen? Even in this body of flesh, we can glorify him now. You see, what the revelation that came to me when Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What are we free from now? Before, we were bound up to our sin. We couldn't exalt him. We couldn't praise him. We couldn't glorify him. But since he has set us free, hallelujah, now we can come and worship the King and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. We never could say that. Why? Because we were bound to our sin. Amen. So now he has cut that. Hallelujah. He has washed us in the blood. Hallelujah. He has filled us with his Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now we can glorify him and magnify him and say, Jesus, Jesus, thank you, God. Hallelujah. He has deposited into us, hallelujah, a guarantee that when he comes, he's coming back for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. When we cried out in faith and he filled us and he saved us, he was saying, I have now appointed you for eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you. And listen, there was nothing. Nothing. There was no merit that we could bring on our own. Despite of ourselves, he saved us.
Amen.
Despite. Hallelujah. How many of you can recall that we was no good? Huh? Man, I'm telling you. When God got a hold of me, $500 of crystal meth was in my sock. I don't know how many bongs I had at home. Matter of fact, one thing that struck me is when my daughter got married, she got married at Horizon Christian Fellowship, but my former pastor, Pastor Leo, he performed the marriage. And so there was a collage. You know how when you come to a marriage and there's a collage of all kinds of photos, you know, from when you were a child and everything? Pastor Leo put his arm around me. He goes, Fee, come here. Was that you? I go, Sophia didn't catch that. She had a photo when she was 4 years old on my lap, right? But there was a bong on the table. And she didn't catch that. And Pastor Leo goes, it's okay. I've been there too. You don't know how bad I wanted to just rip that picture off, man. It would have left the hole right. It was right in the middle. Man, I'm telling you, the plan that he has for you and me, I'm telling you, we can look back to look ahead saying, God, thank you. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, God, hallelujah, that there is now a hell to shun, hallelujah, and a heaven to obtain. Can I get an amen? It's but the grace of God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. My. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Matthew, as we come in for a close, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. So guess what? When he looks down on you from heaven, he doesn't see your faults. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your mistakes. Guess what he sees? He doesn't even see that sin no more. Guess what he sees? He sees the blood. Hallelujah. That was applied to you. Because we can't enter in without the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We need to be washed in the blood. Thank you, God. And so that's how we are perfect. See, because we can't be perfect in our flesh. We have to be perfect in the Spirit. And God has to wash our soul. Hallelujah. It's our soul that traps us here on this earth. It's like tentacles, like an octopus. But God comes with the word and it severs it. Wow. Wow. And we don't see it being severed. All we know is, wow, I'm free now. God did something I couldn't see with my eyes. But the evidence is the Holy Ghost now living inside. Hallelujah. Washed in the blood. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Hallelujah. So God is the only one able to accomplish that because God enables us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Wow, it's a supernatural event that took place at the cross for you and I. Thank you, God. And it's through his power and the indwelling of the Spirit of God that lives in us. And I close with this last scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. It was his love. And so let me just say this. Don't ever let no one call you a sinner anymore. We sin, but God doesn't look at us as sinners no more. Guess what? Guess what the position that we have now? We are the saints of God. Amen. Never. No, read the epistles of Paul. Throughout every epistle, he says to the church, wherever he's at, and to the saints of God. He doesn't say unto all the sinners.
Right.
He says to all the saints of God. You and I are saints of God. And let me just get this correct for some of you that don't understand what a saint is. It's not a ceramic thing that you polish and you put on the shelf. A saint of God is you and I that are called out. And he separates us to do his will. To live the life. To walk in his ways. To walk in the power. So saints means sanctified. Set apart. Hallelujah. To do his will. To do his work. Can I get an amen? I remember, you know, I visited some churches and I used to hear this. Oh, you know, hold hands with the sinner right next to you. I used to have a problem with that. You know why? Because we're not sinners no more. We may sin, and some of us do still sin. But God don't look at you like that. He looks at you as the saint of God. We're one of his saints, called out, washed in the blood. Hallelujah. The sinner who is the unbeliever, who has never came into the saving knowledge of the Lord, that is the one that God addresses to repent and to turn to him and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, oh God. And then the supernatural thing takes place. Then you've opened the door for allow him to come in and sup with you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. See, repent. You think it's a bad word. It's not. It's when you turn to God and then you open up your heart, he comes in and he sits with you.
Amen.
And you know what he tells you? He tells you how much he loves you. Amen. That I died for you. That every sin can be washed away by my blood. By faith. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Some of you are here today that have never been washed in the blood. Some of you have never been baptized. And God is saying, you know what? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a 10-point, 12-point earthquake to take place? Well, what are you waiting for? God is saying, hallelujah, to give your heart to Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. When you hear my voice, harden not your heart. For today is the day of salvation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Man, don't let tomorrow go. Tomorrow's not even guaranteed. Did you know some people that woke up this morning? It was because God woke us up, and there were some people who didn't wake up this morning. And by now, the undertaker has come to take them away. How about us? How about you? Those who are listening to this message, how about you? I'm going to close with these questions, and then we're going to pray. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Number one, what kind of father have you displayed at home? A godly character? Man with wisdom? Or do you sound like the neighborhood dog that barks? There's a dog next to us. Big old German Shepherd. All he does, man, he'll hear a little bug crawling and he starts barking at it. Let alone when the sirens go by. barks all day long. Come on. That's right, amen. So what kind of father? Can you children wake up in the morning and say, oh man, I'm so thankful that my father's blessed. And he loves me. And he teaches me.
Amen.
He encourages me. He disciplines me when I need it. And I know when I make mistakes, he will come and talk to me. Because he loves me. That's the kind of father that needs to be displayed in the times that we live in. Amen. Number two, what areas that you feel can improve as a father and husband? Listen, none of us have arrived. Can I get amen? I thank God for my wife. You know why? She sees all my blind sides. She sees the things I don't see. And I praise God for her. And she comes to me in love and says, Yes, dear. She allows me to lead, but I allow her to speak into my life.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
I heard that one, sister. That's right. Or put it this way. I don't wear any kind of pants. She tells me what color. And I love her for that. Look at number three. Do you believe God can help you in areas that you are lacking in? Yes, he can. He can. Don't throw in the towel. Say, God, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding. Show me your ways. Your ways are better than mine.
Thank you.
Your thoughts are higher than mine. And let me just say this. There's some single sisters in here that have been hurt by fathers. And I'm praying right now that God will encourage you to heal your heart in areas that sometimes it was received in an untoward, ungodly manner. And that you would have a heart to forgive your father and even your husband. Because only God can bring healing.
Yep.
We can well up that anger all day long. And guess what? It does nothing for you but create despair and loneliness and anxiety and fear. Let go and let God. Let God heal your hearts. And you watch him do a mighty work in your life. Number four. Are you willing to commit to God's way to become the father and husband that you are called to be? So is there a sacrifice? Yeah. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. You know what the sacrifice of God is calling us to do, men? It's to love him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. To love yourself like your neighbor. And when you learn those two commandments, guess what? All 614 come all aligned. Because you'll learn this. It's not about the do's and don'ts of the law of God, because none of us can keep one of them. What God is looking for us is to fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with him, just like you fall in love with your husband and wife and your children and those around you, the last thing you want to do is what? Hurt them. Because you love them, right? So God is looking for a love affair. He's looking for a relationship so that when you love the Lord thy God, then you'll start learning to dislike the things that he dislikes. It's all about taking steps one day at a time. Learning to love the Lord thy God and then learning to dishonor the things that he dishonors. Can I get amen? And when you start learning that, when you start getting wisdom like that, then you'll start growing in the grace, you'll become that mighty man of valor.
Come on.
And how many want to be called a mighty man of valor? Not amongst us, but God would say that about you.
Amen.
I'd rather have God say something about me than man. You know why? Because you could tell man, yeah, man, good, great job. Oh, yeah. And then Tomorrow, you bleepity bleepity bleep you. And walk out of your life. You know what I've learned in 8 years as a pastor? Watch out when they pat you on the, yeah, man. And then all of a sudden, they walk out of your life. You'll say something that'll strike a chord. How dare you? And then they're gone. But God's looking for a legitimate love affair with him. Not a superficial, not a candy-coated one, not a plastic one. He's looking for the real deal. And you know what the real deal is? Surrender to him and love him. And say, God, I love you with my whole heart, soul, and mind. And Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. And so I'm going to pray right now. And let's ask God to just minister to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I thank you for these precious men, fathers, grandfathers, even the single brothers. Lord, that you would do something mighty in their lives, oh God. And Lord, whatever they're lacking, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Lord, I'm praying, God, that this day would not just be another Sunday, another message, but that you would work mightily in our hearts, oh God. Lord, that we can take the word of God and we can apply it and say, oh God, speak to me, God. Teach me your ways, for your ways are far better than mine. And those things that I need work on, God, work on me. Work on me, God. And if you allow the Lord God to do those things and you cry out with a sincere heart, he's going to show you great and mighty things to come. And so I need you guys to pray this prayer with me. And then we'll just be led by the Spirit of God. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Is Jesus worthy? Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.